Did you bring your Bible this morning? Let's see them. Get them up. All right, very good. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to start there, and then we're going to ease on over to Psalm 103. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18 is where we're starting. That's the launching pad. The landing strip's going to be Psalm 103. 1 Thessalonians is in the New Testament. And all of the books that begin with the letter T are grouped together for your convenience. In alphabetical order. 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, and Titus. Right there together. Isn't that nice? If you find one, you can find all the rest of them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Have you found it? If you have found it, tell me what page you're on. No, you're not going to find it in the hymnal. It's too late now. Everybody knows that William is using a hymnal trying to find his scripture passage. Okay. All righty. Let's look at verses 16 through 18. I'm going to be reading like I normally do out of the New King James Version. You follow along there in your copy of God's Word. Here we go. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Let's pray one more time. Father, would you help us today to really understand what this word means? Lord, to be able to apply it to our lives, and would you take your word and use it to change us and make us more like you? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this is a tremendous passage for Thanksgiving. If you're using the New International Version, verse 18 says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Now, I want you to notice, it doesn't say, give thanks for all circumstances. That's not what it says. It says, give thanks in all circumstances. No matter how bad some of the circumstances of life may be, with God's help, we can always find a reason to be thankful. Always. There was a father and his son. They were seated at the dining room table while the mom was in finishing the final preparations for the family's dinner. And while the father and son were seated there, the father asked the son if he would say the prayer for the meal. And the boy said, sure. Or, well, sweetly. You know, he's just like Curly, the Three Stooges. Mom placed the last part of the meal on the table. And she sat down, and the boy looked around the table at the food for a moment, then he began to pray. He said, God, I'm not sure what it is, but thanks anyway, and I'll still eat it. Amen. He offered thanks. Hopefully your table at Thanksgiving's not going to be like that. Honey, what is this? What did you bring to the table? All right, Thanksgiving week is finally here. You know how you can tell Thanksgiving week's finally here? You can see all the Christmas decorations in the store. They're already set up. Already playing Christmas music. This week, children and grandchildren are going to bring home these precious artwork from school. Little turkeys that they made out of construction paper or paper plates and little feathers pasted on them. And pilgrims with funny hats and shoes. During this week, I'm assuming that our president will offer a pardon for a turkey and issue the annual Thanksgiving proclamation and encourage us all to be thankful for at least this one day of the year. Now, Thanksgiving is an unusual holiday. It combines God and government and society. And is considered perfectly acceptable for everyone, regardless of religion or no religion at all, to be thankful on Thanksgiving Day. Now, I don't know about you, but that kind of concerns me, because when something becomes universally accepted, it's usually been watered down or changed from its original purpose. For instance, look at what has happened to Christmas and Easter. Is Christmas about the birth of Christ? No, it's about Santa and reindeer and elves and that one that you move all over the house for different days of the year. I got a plan. If I ever had one of those, I got a plan for that. I'm going to put him in a little prison, make him stay there all Christmas season. Look at what happened to Easter. Is it about the birth of Christ? Resurrection? About the resurrection? No. It's about bunnies and eggs and candy and candy and candy and candy. I want to encourage you this morning to take two safeguards to protect Thanksgiving so that it does not become like some culturally acceptable holiday. I think there are two things that you need to remember about Thanksgiving. The first one is this. Make sure that you are grateful to the right somebody. To the right somebody. If we're going to say thank you, we have to say thank you to somebody, right? Isn't that how it goes? Make sure that it's the right somebody. There was a lady who was known to be a devout atheist. She didn't believe there was a God. She will one day, but that's another story altogether. One morning, she and a friend stepped outside, and it was a beautiful fall morning, and she saw the brilliant sun peeking through the haze and brightly colored leaves falling slowly to the ground. And she said this, "I am so thankful. I'm just so grateful for it all." And her friend, who was a believer, asked this question, "Grateful to whom, my dear?" That's the question, isn't it? That's the big question. If you're grateful, if you're really thankful, then the next question would have to be, who are you grateful or who are you thankful to? Because you got to be thankful to somebody. I like a story about a lady that pulled up at a drive-in window at a bank. And the teller was inside. She was facing the hot afternoon sun. So she pulled down that large shade. You ever seen them do that? They pulled down that shade. Now, she could see out. They couldn't see in. And it blocked the sun from blinding the poor teller there. And this lady pulled up to the window, and the teller pushed that little button, and the drawer moved out to meet her. It came on out. And she put in her deposit, and then the drawer went back in. And a few minutes later, the drawer came back out again with her deposit slip and the money that she'd requested. And she counted it, and then she put the money in her purse. And she looked at the window, and she couldn't see anybody in there. Then she said this. She says, "I suppose that you are totally automated, but I just feel that I ought to say thank you anyway." So she did. You ever felt that way? I have a little Amazon Echo Dot in my office. I like her. I can tell her what to do and she'll do it. In fact, I've got my fan hooked up and I can go in my office and I can say, "Alexa, turn on the fan." Next thing that happens, you hear the switch click and the fan comes on. I like that. I like to be able to tell a woman what to do and she does it. Can I get an amen? Hey, who else is in trouble with me? Nobody wants to join in there. I was talking with Cheryl, about her. I could tell her what to do, and she does it. And she's playing music, And so I said, "Alexa, shut up." And it got quiet. And I felt bad for telling this little dot to shut up. So I said, "Alexa, I'm sorry." She says, "It's okay." Technology. O King David in the Old Testament, he knew the answer to the question of gratefulness. Who to be grateful to? If anyone had a cause to lift his voice in thanksgiving to God, David was the man. He was a shepherd boy who became the hero of a nation. He was a hunted fugitive who became a king. He was a condemned sinner who became a man after God's own heart. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 103. We're going to hang out there mostly for the rest of the message. So keep it open there. Psalm 103. That is in the Old Testament. Old Testament. Psalm 103. If you found it, would you simply say, I found it? I don't hear any pages turning. Okay. All right, let's look at verse 1. And just in case you came to church unprepared, did not have your Bible, I'll even put it up on the board for you to read, okay? Verse 1 and 2 says this, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Once again, when you decide to be thankful, be sure that you, like King David, are thankful to the right somebody. Bless the Lord. Not just bless the Lord. Not just thank you, but thank you, Lord. So that's number one. Be thankful to the right somebody. Number two, make sure you thank God for the right reasons. For the right reasons. If you were to write down a list of things to be thankful for, and we did that Wednesday night, for those of you who are here, we had a wonderful dinner. Oh man, that was good. Teresa and Marty, they just worked their little fingers to the bone. They spent a lot of time on their feet. And they did great. Thank you, ladies, for that. And all of y'all who brought stuff to eat, thank you for that. We had a great time. And one of the things that we did was we put on a little piece of paper things that we are thankful for. They're all on that bulletin board out in the foyer vestibule that way. Okay. We posted all of them out there. But if you were to write a list of things you're thankful for, what would you put on that list? I know some of the things that I'd include on that list. I thank God for my salvation that I absolutely do not deserve. And by the way, you don't deserve salvation either. Just in case you were wondering. I thank God for my family. For Tammy and the girls and even my son-in-laws. Or is that sons-in-law? Tammy says that's how you say it. Sons-in-law. It's hard, but I guess I'm even thankful for them. I thank God for Christian parents who made sure I was in church. How many of y'all can relate? I had a drug problem when I was a kid. I had drugged to church. I didn't have a whole lot of choice in the matter. When my dad was out on cruises with the Navy, Mama made sure we were in church. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful that I live in the United States of America. And even with all of our problems, and boy do we have them, I'd rather live here than in any other country in the world. I'm thankful for the physical blessings too. I'm thankful that I still have the ability to think. I'm thankful for the strength that I have to move. I thank God for supplying me with everything that I really need. Now, I don't have everything I want, and that's probably a good thing. But God has met my needs, and I know that He's the supplier of every good and perfect gift that comes my way. Now, I realize our list could go on and on and on, but let's take a look at the list King David made in this 103rd Psalm, beginning in verse 3. He begins by thanking God for being a God who forgives all your iniquities. By the way, iniquities means sins. Sins. He forgives all our sins. That's comforting to know, isn't it? What's the wages of sin? Death. And we're not talking about just that this body's going to wear out and die, like I mentioned before. The real earnings that we get because of our sin is to spend forever apart from God in a very real place called hell. That's what we deserve. But that's not what we get when we have a relationship with God. David knew this was important, that God forgave all our sins. He doesn't begin by thanking God for making him a king. He doesn't mention that Israel had become the strongest nation in the world during his reign. First of all, he thanks God for forgiving our sins. I believe that's the most precious gift that any of us can ever receive. The forgiveness of sins. God, through Jesus Christ, has provided a way for our sins to be forgiven. And it's ours if we'll accept it. We do not get it automatically. It's ours if we accept it. Now, he continues by thanking God for being a God who heals all your diseases. And I don't think David knew a whole lot about germs and infection. I doubt that he knew a whole lot about it, but I believe that he did know that when the people of Israel obeyed God's laws, that they didn't have the plagues that the other nations around them had to deal with. And when troubles did arise, and they called on God for help, he was always there to help them. Now, we may not be able to understand everything that happens in life. I know I don't. But I'm convinced that God is still the great physician. And that he knows the deepest needs of your life even better than you do. We may think our biggest need is some physical thing. We've got a disease, or we've got a problem with the body that God has given us to use. And we may think that's the biggest problem we have. But that may not be necessarily be the biggest problem we have. In fact, I believe the biggest problem we have is, apart from Christ, we're going to spend eternity in hell. That's the biggest problem we have. Sometimes we think that our biggest problem is a physical need or an emotional need or something like that. But we serve a God who knows exactly what our biggest problem is. And whether your need is physical or emotional or spiritual, I'm sure that God will always do what's best for you. Always. Now, we may argue with God about what's best for us is. Well, God, the best thing for me is that you make me rich. And God may be saying, no, that's not what's best for you. Apparently, he's saying that about me because I guess he knows if he made me rich, I wouldn't be able to handle it all anyway. I'd just waste it. But he knows our greatest need. And he's promised to meet our greatest need. And I'm so thankful for that. Next, David says that God redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. And God certainly did that for King David. And he's still doing that same thing today, delivering people from destruction. Before we received Christ as Savior, we were headed straight for hell. And he has truly redeemed us. He's rescued our life from destruction. And then he says that God satisfies your mouth or your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I'm looking forward to the day when our youth will really be renewed, when we're standing face to face in the presence of God. And all these infirmities that we carry around with us in our body, they're going to be gone. They're going to be out of here. He promises to renew us. Almost everybody is searching for some kind of fountain of youth. And I see the evidence every day that I hadn't found the fountain of youth. My body's falling apart, kind of like y'all's is. Listen, if you live long enough, this body we're in is going to give up. It's going to be done. And I see the evidence of things in my body that don't work nearly as good as they used to work. I was talking to Tammy. We're going. We may have been going to Walmart, you know, making our daily run or our two-a-days or whatever it is. And it was at night. And I don't know about you, but I'm aggravated at these people that make these new cars. Those headlights are offensively bright. Aren't they? I think we ought to sue them and make them put a volume switch on them headlights and turn them down a little bit. But we're driving along, and used to be it didn't bother me at all. And now those lights kind of bother me a little bit. And I think it's just evidence that this body's wearing out. I probably got some Cadillacs I need to give up. In fact, I remember the last time I was at the eye doctor, he looks at you and for me, he does the back of the eye look, you know, takes all the pictures and looks at all those little blood vessels going through there. And he says, yeah, I see some cataract forming there. He says, we're going to have to deal with it one day. He says, how old are you? And I told him how old I was. He says, oh, well, I think they'll wait till you reach Medicare anyway. You know, have a little help paying for them. But these bodies fall apart. They do. Maybe Paul explained it best when he said this. He said, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. And that's it. We are falling apart. But our spirit, because of the presence of God in our life, our spirit's being renewed day by day. David's Thanksgiving list, I think, is a good list. We can just add his list to our list, and I think it would be, and join all together in thanking God for all the joys and blessings he pours out on us every day. And that would be a good list. Now, once you are thankful to the right somebody and for the right reasons, let me leave you with one more thing. And it's this. Even though bad things happen to God's people, we can still praise God. Did you know that? Did you know that bad things happen to God's people? Have you experienced it in your own life yet? It happens. Many of God's people are suffering, even today. In fact, if the whole truth were known, probably everybody in this room is suffering one way or another. And if not today, there's always tomorrow. One way or another, we're suffering. I think it was Job who said, yet man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. Even though bad things happen to God's people, we can still give praise and thanksgiving to God in the midst of our sorrow. We can still give praise and thanksgiving to God. Even when our world is falling apart all around us, we can still give praise and thanksgiving to God. We can. We like to think of praising God for stuff, toys, a new this, a new that, a bigger this, a better that. But sometimes the greatest gifts and the greatest things we can thank God for are things like peace. Quiet. You know what I'm talking about? That's good stuff. And sometimes we're looking for the big things and we miss these little things. Peace. Even though bad things happen, we can still praise God. We can still offer thanksgiving to God. And the reason why is because the great difference between God's people and the rest is that God's people don't suffer alone. Have you figured that out yet? When suffering comes, You're not alone. In fact, you're never alone. You're never alone. Psalm 23 verse 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. God is always with us. And we're not the only ones struggling. We're not the only ones that are hurting. Sometimes when we are struggling and hurting, we think we're the only people going through this. Nobody understands. I'm the only person going through this. And God says, would you just be quiet for a little while? You know, Scripture says, be still and know that I am God. Not whine and complain and know I am God. Oh, we love to whine. I know y'all are thinking, preacher, I never whine and complain. Oh, not me, preacher. Let me talk to those who are closest to you. Let's see how this goes. But we love to whine and complain. But what we got to realize is we're not the only people that are hurting. We're not the only ones who are struggling. People who never darkened the door of the church are hurting too. The people who never lift their voices in praise to God or thanksgiving to God, listen, they're hurting too. The great difference is when we hurt, God is there to help us through those difficult times. We are never, ever alone. Never alone. Way on back in the Scripture, back in Exodus chapter 2, verse 24, it says, so God heard their groaning, and God remembered His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. I don't know about you, but I can forget names that I was just told 2 minutes ago. I can't remember a name hardly to save my life. I can make up names, but I can't remember them. Friends that used to be part of our lives, you know, they kind of move away. And next thing you know, they're forgotten. That's just how I am. I have no memory at all. I forget the things I want to remember. And I remember the things I want to forget. You know what I'm talking about? The bad times. The suffering times. The hurt times. Man, I'd love to forget those. I don't have a problem remembering those. It's somebody's name I can't remember. Some of y'all know what I mean. So I'm there. Preacher, I got you. I think this is so cool. The God of the universe has billions of people to be concerned about. Billions with a B. And He never forgets. Never. Never forgets. He heard the groanings of Israel and He remembered the covenant that He had made with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And later on in Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, it tells us this. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who were in Egypt and have heard their cries because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them. Listen, if He knew the sorrows of the children of Israel, I promise you, He knows your sorrows today. It's not hidden from Him. I believe that God hears every cry that comes from the lips of His people. Every prayer that comes from the depths of our heart. I believe that He's concerned about our tears. He's concerned about our suffering. And how in the world He can do that with as many people as there are? He's God and He can do everything. And we are not forgotten. And when we suffer, we are not alone. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a good thing to be thankful for. I'm convinced that when our children and grandchildren are very small, you know, and they're hurting, you know, they were running and fell down and scraped a knee, that those times are usually the times when we are most powerfully able to communicate our love and concern to them. Since we can't stand to watch them hurting, we scoop them up, we hold them tight, And we tell them that everything's going to be okay. Except me. When our girls would fall down, I'd say, come here and I'll help you up. Think about it. But we want to tell them that everything will be okay. Or if they get too big for us to scoop up, we try to tell them of our love for them. We want them to know that because they hurt, we hurt too. And we try to do everything we can to take away the hurt. And listen, those have been some of the most tender, precious moments with our children. And if you're blessed to have grandchildren. And I believe some of my greatest moments with God have been when I have hurt the most, when I felt the most empty, only to find that He was there all along, always keeping His promise. He's not like the friend who sees you coming up to the storm and says, brother, I'm going to be praying for you, but I'm going to go around over this way and I'll meet you on the other side. God comes with us and He takes our hand and He walks us all the way through the storms we got to face. And believe, you know this, we face storms. Now some of them are little bitty storms. Chances are really we can kind of handle them on our own if we needed to. I'm so glad we don't have to. But sometimes we face fierce, ferocious storms. And God says, here, take my hand. We'll go through this together. Were you looking for a reason to be thankful today? That's a reason. Whatever comes your way, you're not going to face it alone. So the question is, are you thankful? Chances are we are. Who are you thankful to? Who are you thankful to? What's on your Thanksgiving list? I hope the first thing on your Thanksgiving list is the forgiveness of sins. For the confident hope of eternal life with Jesus Christ. And listen, ain't everybody got that confident hope? You got to come to faith in Jesus Christ. You don't inherit it from mom and dad. You don't get it through church membership. You don't get it through baptism. You don't get it for hanging out in church and going to Sunday school and all the other things which I think are great things and we ought to be involved in. That ain't how you get it. You get it through coming to Christ and saying, I know that I'm a sinner. And I can't save myself. And the best that I know how, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins and you rose from the grave. And the best that I know how, I ask you to forgive me of my sin. And I ask you to be my Savior. That's how it happens. Something very similar. May not be the exact same words. In fact, the exact words really aren't that important. It's not some kind of magic formula that we say and poof, God forgives us. It's the intent of our heart. Is that what we want? We go to the Father and tell Him that. And I promise you on the authority of God's Word, if you go to Him and you tell Him that He will save you. He'll forgive your sins because that's what the Word says He'll do. Listen, we have so much to be thankful for. We all do. You may be thinking, I ain't got nothing. If you begin to look around, you realize you're okay. And you can thank God for that. We got so much to be thankful for, and we know who to be thankful to. To God. God our Father. To be thankful to Him. Our Heavenly Father who loves us and provides for our every need. Does He provide for our every want? No. And that's probably a good thing. Because sometimes we want stupid stuff. Oh, I done said the S word in church. Tammy's going to smack me for that too when I get home. That and the picture at the end of the song. By the way, she didn't know I was going to do that. Hey, baby, surprise. Anyways, I hope I live through that. We got a lot to be thankful for, and we know who we need to be thanking. our Heavenly Father. Let's pray together this morning. Father, how I do thank you, Lord, for all your great blessings. Father, I thank you for the gift of eternal life. I thank you that your Holy Spirit still pleads with the hearts of men and women and boys and girls, drawing them to you. Lord, I pray if there's someone here today who has not yet trusted Christ as Savior, Lord, you give them the courage to do that, that you would impress on their lives right now in a powerful way the need to trust Jesus and be saved. Father, I thank you for what you're going to do. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.